And so it is, dear friends, that we gather once again as family, as Chambra, to share our energies, to share our love, to share our journey. Indeed, I, Tobias, love to come roaring in, as Caldra says. I love to come into your space, to sit next to you, to be with you, to feel you so close. You know that those of us on this side of the veil, we cannot come in close unless you allow us to. We cannot interfere, of course. We cannot even come in close next to you unless you give permission and you open your hearts. That is why it is such a joy for I, Tobias, to gather with you like this, and for all the other angels and entities who sit in the second circle. Oh, they are as thrilled as I am. They are standing here today, filling the second circle, hundreds and hundreds of angels and entities who, in a way, have to get tickets to the show. For we limit the number and the quotient of energy that comes in so as to keep a balance. But they come in waiting to be with you, waiting to feel your energy and your love, waiting to see this amazing creature called a human, now turning into a divine human. They come in to observe, because they know their time will come. When they come back in the physical body and to walk as humans on earth, or for some of them come in for the first time. So they are fascinated by everything that you do. They are taking notes. They are writing this down. They are observing the first group of humans to be integrating fully in the new energy. These are the ones also that are waiting for you to communicate with them on your own level, to talk to them and to hear them back. Yes, this is what you are moving into, where you speak from the heart to them and you can hear back without the filters, without the layers that interfere with you now hearing them. How do you do this, dear friends? You do it by opening up. You do it by feeling rather than thinking. You will feel their vibrations. You will be channeling them. Indeed, as you learn to channel yourself and other humans, then you will channel them. And what you will hear from them behind all the words, behind all the feelings, is that you are the exalted ones. You are the ones who have taken the difficult journey. You are their teacher. That's what you will hear. You will not hear grand words from them about what you should do. You will hear these angels who gather here today coming to you as your students. And you thought your students would only be humans. No, they will be the angels who come after you, who come to you for your advice, for your guidance, for your compassion. Indeed, we do love these gatherings. We love this time together with you. And indeed, so much is said that goes beyond the words. Yes, as Caldra was saying before, he learned, you are learning, that it is not the words. It is the energies. And dear friends, as you, as Chambra, learn to channel, learn to understand these energies, you do not have to worry about the words. You do not have to place them in words. So much can be said without the words. Without the words, you bypass the brain, the mind. You go straight for the heart. You go straight for the depths. So much said here as we gather that is not in words. That is why so many of you go out to the zone. So many of you nod off because you are allowing yourself to receive all of these energies. What a wonderful group we have here today. The ones who sit in the chairs and the ones who are connected from all over the world. A group, as we said, who raised their hand when the trumpet of Gabriel was sounded, who said, "Dear God, dear Spirit, I give of myself in service. I will do anything." And here you sit, many years later, having gone through so many difficulties and challenges, given up everything that you thought you were in order to become everything that you possibly can. And here you sit, ready for more, waiting to know what comes next, still singing the song from your heart that says, "Spirit, I give of myself to your service, to the service of all." We meet like this so many times when you're dreaming, when you're sleeping at night. Yes, all of us meet like this as a group. That's why this energy seems so familiar, is because we do meet. We sit like this so often in silence. So often just feeling the vibrations. This is where you go at night, in between your other journeys. You come to this place of shambhritic energy. And we sit. And we smile. And there are a few tears. But we share energies. We share stories. We share ourselves. Dear friends, many of you have been feeling stress in your bodies lately. We know this. We can see it as we sit here looking at you. We can see what looks like solar flares coming off of your auric field. Much stress. There's also in your mind. Understand that so much of the reason for this right now is because the final adjustment of the grids that we talked about last month is being made. You can feel the new potential coming in. You can feel the shifts taking place. At the highest levels, the energy is shifting. At the inner levels within you, the energy is shifting right now. Your body knows that something is happening. Your body knows that it needs to change, to adjust to your divinity. It needs to change because you are allowing your divine energies to come up from within you. These are high, high frequency energies, unlike what your body has experienced in any lifetime past. These energies are strong, and they are high, they are intense, and they are coming in now, and your body is preparing itself. It's going through the changes at the deepest level. Your body is changing at the levels of the space between the space. Then up through the DNA and the cells and the tissues and the organs. What you are going through right now is a biological adjustment so that you can handle all of these new energies. They are coming in now. That is why your body aches. That is why there are pains. This too shall pass. As your body becomes accustomed and adjusted to the new frequencies, that aches and pains will go out of your body. In your mind, we know there are many stresses right now. You are so used to being able to see what comes ahead of you on the path. You've been so used to knowing what you will do and where you will be in 3 months or 6 months. Humans, they plan their life out until they die. They plan their jobs and their retirement, and even their death. Interesting. But now you cannot see even into tomorrow. You have a difficulty in knowing what lies ahead, and this is causing stress in the mind, and this is part of the change that is taking place. Part of you is in fear, not knowing anymore what will happen next, not being able to predict, not being able to plan. Oh, and this causes great stress in the mind. We know so many of you lay awake at night wondering what you will be doing. Worried. You are saying to yourself, I'm 30, 40, 50 years of age or more. What will I be doing? What about my retirement? Who will take care of me? How will I live? What will I do? We know you worry. The stress right now is because you are making an adjustment in your mind and in your spirit to live in the now, to live in the now, in the moment. It is difficult because you still want to know what's going to happen tomorrow. Living in the now is now. It is the moment. So there is much stress in your mind as well. Much stress in your mind. Understand that all of this is appropriate, and it all has to do with this alignment of the grids. Understand that these stresses will soon be leaving, and you will then have a body that has been rebuilt from the ground up. And you will have a mind that understands the moment. You will have a spirit that understands that everything you need comes to you. It is the new paradigm. We've talked about it before. It wasn't just talk. You are now living it. You are now in it. You are now birthing your divinity, bringing it into the now, not an intellectual concept, but a reality that is within you. In our discussion last month, dear friends, I talked at some time, at some length, about the churches. I talked about how the churches are holding back the consciousness. And while this is appropriate in a way, it is also a time for change. I spoke at length about the churches and about those who are the leaders for a specific reason. To help you, Chandra, understand your role. You will be going out. You will be going out in these next months of time. Many changes will be happening in your life, indeed. You will be the spiritual teachers. You will be the ones guiding others. You will be the new priests and priestesses in your own way. Perhaps you will not have a large building where they come to worship once a week. Perhaps you will do it in your own way. From your own home, from your own car, one way or the other. But you are the new teachers. And last month I spoke about the churches to help you understand and to make a point to each of you. Don't rely on old books and old ways. When you are with your students, the ones who come to you, be in the now, in the moment. Don't have any cliches stored in your back pocket for them. Don't have any old tricks that you pull out from the hat. Be in the now. Read their energy. Feel their energy. Hear their words. Then you will know what to say. Then you will know how to have compassion for them and what is appropriate to do at that moment in time. The churches, dear friends, serve the purpose. You are the ones who helped to create them in the first place. But their time is coming to an end. There is a whole new energy and a whole new type of divine human now stepping up, now ready to do the work. Look at how you can truly be in service. Look at the balance of male and female that is needed. Indeed, the churches of the world right now have a male domination, a male orientation. It is appropriate now for the melding of the feminine and the masculine energies. It is appropriate now. It is appropriate to be the receiver as well as the giver. That is why my Tobias got a bit wound up last month about the churches. But I was trying to make a point to each of you to look at what is not working right now for so many humans. To look at what the new teachers will be using as their tools. And more important than anything, to remind you to always remind your student that they are God also, that they have the power within. It is not contained for them within you, for them within a book, for them within mantras. It is contained within them. Remind them over and over again of the same thing that we reminded you about. You are God also. It begins with you. It begins inside. It begins when you take that first step of divine empowerment. Dear friends, there is a shift that is taking place here on earth. We've spoken of it time and time again. We've spoken of some of the difficult times that Earth as a whole will go through as others make their adjustments, as the old institutions that are no longer appropriate in this new energy, as they come to a conclusion, as their walls come tumbling down. So much of this change involves a balance and a meld of the male and the female energy, the feminine and the masculine. We are not talking here about the genders of male and female. We are speaking about the energy of the feminine and the energy of the masculine, the giver and the receiver. It is time for this to come into balance now, and with the completion of the grids, it will happen. And it's time for that to happen within each of you. None of you here are male or female from an energetic standpoint. You are both. And it's time you looked upon yourself as having both energies, the giver and the receiver, the masculine and the feminine, the nurturer, the one who has the strength. You are all male and female. We take this opportunity also to ask you in your hearts to love and acknowledge and appreciate those in your society who came into this lifetime with a contract to bring in both energies within one body. You call them gay. Sometimes, many times, too often, they are ridiculed. But they came in with a large contract to meld both energies in one body. And at times this has caused them imbalance. At times this has caused them great inner difficulties. They were the first to come in to incorporate both energies at one time. They, these ones that you call gay or lesbians, they are tired now. They have carried much of this energy, this melded energy of male and female. They have done their work. And now it is time for you to accept the meld of energies within you. We're not talking about sex here. We are talking about you. We are talking about your energetic balance of feminine and masculine. It is time for you to accept both parts of yourself. You've gone through much conflict over these years about who you were. You wondered how much of a woman you were or how much of a man you were. Now it is time to be both. The ones who in your society have been called the gays and the lesbians have paved the way and opened the door so that it's much more acceptable for you now to carry that meld of energy. Speaking of this divine feminine energy, we have a wonderful guest on this day who comes in at this special time of the year to be with you. Her energy has been around all of you strong for many months now. For many of you, she has been such a guiding force for all of your life. But she comes in right now as the symbol of the feminine energy, as the rebalance of the feminine energy within you, within society, within the churches. She comes in as the energy of Mary, what you would call Mother Mary. But it is not just the persona of the one who is in the Holy Scriptures of the Christian churches. Mary represents the goddess. Mary represents the feminine balance. Our earth is coming into a new balance. The feminine energy is coming in so very strong right now. Strong in order to be able to be balanced, sit side by side with the male energy that has dominated earth for so many centuries. The queen returns, the energy of the goddess, symbolized through Mary. She comes in to visit as our special honored guest on this day. And she would like to spend a moment with each of you. I'd like to spend a moment allowing you to feel the potential of the divine feminine energy. So we will be in quiet for just a moment so that the queen can sit next to the king inside of you. Yes, and this would be a good time to breathe in. The energy of the queen, of the feminine, represented here today by Mary, helps to fill the space that has been long neglected in your societies. She comes here to take her rightful seat for a new balance of feminine and masculine, the return the queen in balance with the king. Allow yourself to absorb these energies of dear Mary. Allow yourself to feel this energy of the Queen within you. These energies will be so important now in these months ahead because they are nurturing and compassionate. They are giving of life. They are the receiving energies. And oh, dear friends, how it is that each one of you needs to receive. Needs to receive. You have been givers. You have been warriors. You have been builders and planners. Your energy has been very strong and very assertive. Yes, men and women who are here today. We're speaking to both of you. But now, in the new balance of the new earth, it is important to be receivers as well. There must be that balance of giving and receiving, of masculine and feminine, of birthing and of creating, all within you. All within you. So it is that the energy of Mary is strong and present here on this day. As a reminder also to those of you, as a reminder that it was the energy of the feminine that gave birth to the one you call Yeshua. I gave birth to this male who would go out and teach in a new way. Teach without the walls. Gave birth to Yeshua who would change the course of history. She gave birth to Yeshua who was not accepted at the time, but whose word came to be known by so many in this world. But it started with the birthing from the feminine energy. All of this is so important now that the completion of the bridge is done. The feminine, the receiving, the nurturing, and the compassion. And if there is nothing else that we accomplish today, what we want you to do is to feel this meld within you. So many of you, even the women, have shut down your feminine side, or you have not understood it. So many of you men, indeed, have thought it was not appropriate, so you've closed the door on that side of who you are. It is time to open that up. It is time, dear friends, to feel this blended, melded, and balanced energy of male and female within the core of your being. We can feel the changes even as we sit here. Those who are in the second circle can see the changes within you. Can see the transformation taking place. Now, I want to add another point here on this day. So many of you are wondering now what work you will be doing. You've heard us talking at length about teaching. You've heard us talk at length about the new work and changes in your life. Indeed, so many of you will be going through changes in these next 3, 6, 9 months of time. There'll be changes in where you live, in your jobs, yes, in your relationships. You will feel the pressure at times to make changes and not quite understand what they're supposed to be. Some of you have been delaying large decisions in your life. You've been waiting. You've been procrastinating. Oh, dear friends, the energy of these decisions will come to visit you in a strong way. It is time to make shifts in your life. It is time to move to the next level. You wonder about what work you will be doing. Let us just say, dear friends, that it will be different. It will be a work of passion, a work of your heart. There'll be some changes that you go through in order to get to that point. And these will be happening soon. But we want to make one point very clear. You wonder about the work. We hear so many of you saying to us at night, saying to the angels and the archangels, my job is insignificant. I don't feel I'm doing anything worthwhile. I work at a store. I put in my hours. Shouldn't I be doing grand spiritual work? So many of you, too many of you, are in jobs you do not like. This will be changing. This will be changing. So many of you are ready to begin your new work. That of a teacher. A teacher having many implications can be done in many different ways. But we want to share with you the important thing is you already are doing the work, or you have done the work. The work is on the inside. The work is on the inside. The changes on earth and the changes in the universe and everything in the second circle are affected by what goes on inside you. When we hear you saying, dear Tobias, I do not feel I am doing any work, we have to chuckle. The changes you have done within you, the releasing of the old, the accepting of your divinity, this is what truly makes a difference. We know you have been going through many internal struggles, many clearings. This is truly powerful work. This is what makes a difference more than anything else. When you change your vibration, you change everything around you. You change the vibration of the mass consciousness. You change the vibration of the angels and the archangels. The true work is what you have done inside. It is not what is on your business card. It is not your job or profession. It is what you have done on the inside. So many of you think you are not worthy because you are not doing what you consider to be important work. But we shake our heads and say, no, you do not understand yet. The important work is what you did on the inside. The changes you made by facing the darkness within you, by facing your fears, by releasing old wounds, those changes have changed your world to the point where you did not need to go through any sort of catastrophe or termination. The work that you have done within yourself is the true work. The work you have done internally has changed people all around you, has prevented what could have been very serious earth changes. Oh, indeed, you will see the earth shake and belch for a while. It is appropriate. But you will notice that there are not large losses of human life. Gaia is able to release in other ways, in non-destructive ways. It is because you have done the work inside. We want to emphasize for each and every one of you, it is not the outer job. It is not your day-to-day career or work that is important. It is what you have done on the inside that is important. What you have done on the inside is the true work. You are worthy. You have been doing the work. Because you have been doing the work, indeed, there will be a new call for you. There will be a new call in this next year of one sort or the other. It will be a move to a new level or step. Yes, indeed, we know there will be some stress caused by the changes. Humans, they do not like change. They complain about what they have, but they do not want to change. But we tell you, Chambra, worldwide, there will be changes in your life. It will mean letting something go to make room for something new. We ask you not to curse us when you're going through this process of letting something go. We ask you to honor and to bless it. It is appropriate. This could be friends or family or a career or job. This could be something even in your body that needs to be released. But we tell you, changes are coming. We tell you, if there are uncertain times and you're not sure of your balance, make sure to talk to other Chambra. You are the best teachers and the best students for each other. Indeed you are. Along that line, dear friends, we would love to tell a short story. A short story. We will keep it short. Kaldra does not so much believe us. But to help you understand part of where you are, we will tell the story of Joe, a story that we told several weeks ago in the land of Orion, what you call Korea. It was told there, and we will tell it again for all of Chambra to hear, because it is your story, and it's about you. It is that Joe is Chambra, like you, going through many changes in his life, learning to understand that he is God also, learning to release the old things that no longer serve him, going through changes that some days have him puzzled and wondering what he is doing, but knowing that there is guidance, knowing that he is never alone. Like you, Joe is searching for his enlightenment. Joe is searching to understand his divinity and his connection with spirit. So one night, in a lucid dream, Joe found himself going to the inner temple of divinity, the temple of divinity within him. He felt that he was journeying across time and space and dimensions, but yet he was really, truly only taking an inner journey to the inside of his own being. In his lucid dream, Joe came to the temple of divinity. And he opened the door, and behold, he saw a grand and beautiful hall filled with light. Light that seemed to have no source, but everything was illuminated, brilliant, and gold and shimmering. Joe walked into the temple of divinity and glanced around, and he noticed that the entire perimeter was filled with angels, and he recognized many of them as being aspects of himself from the past. And he recognized many of the angels who assembled in the Hall of Divinity as being ones who had walked beside him in past lives or in this lifetime. The angels were all familiar to Joe, and there were hundreds and hundreds of them, like there are hundreds and hundreds in the room we share here today. They were gathered because they knew Joe was coming. And Joe saw a chair, a lone chair, in the center of the hall, and he knew it was time for him to approach this chair of divinity and to sit in it. He slowly approached the chair of divinity. Once again, glancing at all the angels who were present, knowing that there was some type of ceremony that would take place on this day. He stepped up under the chair of divinity, sat down, and said, "Dear Spirit, am I ready for my enlightenment? Am I ready for my divinity?" And a silence fell throughout the whole hall. And one angel stepped out from the group. One large, beautiful, powerful, glowing angel stepped up to the chair where Joe was seated and said, "Joe, we are honored to have you here in the Temple of Divinity. And Joe, you are not ready yet to receive your enlightenment." But a sadness fell over Joe, and confusion and anger. His anger caused him to wake up from his lucid dream, to wake up, remembering all the details of going to the Hall of Divinity and remembering the letdown when the angel told him he was not ready. And he sat up the rest of the night and through the next day and through the next day, wondering what he needed to do. What he needed to do to receive his enlightenment. And it dawned on him at the end of the second day that he had not studied enough. He had not learned enough. So Joe began a very aggressive program of reading books and going to workshops and learning everything he could. And over the next 6 months of time, Joe read and studied and listened. Every moment of his waking hours was spent absorbing material, trying to find pearls of wisdom in the material that he was reading. And after 6 difficult, grueling, and tiring months of loading up his mind with information, he went back to the Temple of Divinity one night in his lucid dreams. And once again, he opened the door of the temple. And once again, the temple was filled with hundreds and hundreds of angels, all of whom Joe recognized. And once again, he walked up to the chair of enlightenment and sat down. And once again, this one grand angel stepped forward, knowing what Joe would ask next. And with a bit of nervousness in his voice, being wearied and tired, Joe once again said, "Am I ready for my enlightenment?" And once again, the large angel said, "Joe, you are not yet ready for enlightenment." And once again, the anger and the emotion of the response from the large angel threw Joe back to his everyday human world. He woke up sweating in bed, but remembering every detail of the dream. And once again, Joe sat up throughout the rest of the night, and for 2 more days afterwards, wondering what it was that he should know. What was keeping from him from his enlightenment? And he finally figured it out. He had too many possessions that were holding him back. Too many material things in his life that were keeping him from enlightenment. He felt they were anchors around his legs, dragging him down, keeping him from his enlightenment. So, as you know, Joe went out and he gave away everything he had, his house, his car, his savings account, everything except the clothes on his back. And he went out and lived as a beggar on the streets, eating only enough to allow his physical body to survive, accepting only enough from those who gave him money or food, accepting only enough to get by. And he did this for 6 months of time, leading a life of poverty, leading a life of lack, releasing everything material around him so that he did not have these as anchors. And after 6 months, Joe once again found himself in a lucid dream where he traveled off to the temple of divinity and once again opened the door, walked in, this time very tired and emaciated and hungry, but not carrying any material goods with him except the clothes on his back. And once again, he sat in the chair with much anxiety as the angel approached. And once again, Joe asked the question, am I ready for my enlightenment? This time, the tall, beautiful angel said no words, but simply shook his head no, no. And once again, this threw Joe back into his human world, took him out of the lucid dream, found himself laying on the street corner, for he had no bed, laying on the street corner, wondering what it was he should know. He laid in the street corner for a long time until somebody came and moved him away, like he was a piece of garbage or dirt. And Joe thought about his lifetime, thought about his journey, and suddenly dawned upon him that he had not done enough service for others. His life had been about himself. He knew that he was selfish, that he had spent so much time on his own spiritual journey and awakening. Surely the reason he must not be ready for enlightenment was he had not given enough to others. So Joe embarked on a whole new program of being in service to others. He found every opportunity to help someone, to help the elderly with their groceries, to help children in the park who'd fallen down and gotten hurt, to help couples who were quarreling. He looked for every possible opportunity to be in service to others, to earn his enlightenment points. And after 6 months of giving of himself in every possible way to any human who would possibly allow him to do so, Joe went back one night, once again, to the temple of divinity. He went back in his lucid dream, opened the door, saw all of the angels, but this time didn't pause to feel their love and their energy, for he was a bit angry by now. He wanted his enlightenment. He marched to the chair of enlightenment and sat down, and before the angel could even come to him, he said, am I ready now for my enlightenment? A hush fell over the crowd. And in unison, hundreds and hundreds of angels said, no, no, Joe, you are not ready yet. And at that point, Joe broke down in tears. And he said, I give up. I have tried everything I possibly could to achieve my enlightenment. I have given up all of my material goods. I've been in service to others. I have studied everything that I could possibly study about spirituality and religions. And I come back here and you tell me no one more time. And he broke down. And he had tears coming from his eyes. And as he broke down, he released all of the old energies that had been pumped up. And one tall, grand angel came forth, put his hand on Joe's shoulder, looked at him with eyes of compassion. And even through the compassion, Joe could see that the angel was smiling, even chuckling. This angered Joe even more to think that the angel would laugh at him. And Joe said, What is it that I should know? What is it that I need to do to achieve my enlightenment? And the angel laughed and said to him, Joe, it was so simple all along. You could have just asked. We would have told you. But now that you've tried everything, now that you have experienced all these different things, now you ask the question. And now we will show you the reflection of yourself in the mirror. And within that reflection, you will see the answer. Joe gazed at the angel and could suddenly see himself in the angel's face, could suddenly see his own being reflected from the grand angel that stood in front of him. And the answer came to him. The answer came to him, and it was simple. It was so simple that Joe felt ashamed for a moment and then broke out laughing. The answer, dear friends, was that Joe had no self-worth. Joe did not value himself or what he was doing, so how could he possibly have enlightenment? Joe felt that he was less than perfect and less than God, and each time he came to sit in the chair of enlightenment, this showed. When Joe sat in the chair of enlightenment and asked the question, if he was ready, all the angels had to respond, no, you are not ready yet, because you have no self-worth. You view yourself as something less than God, as something less than perfect. Joe also saw in his own reflection that everything he had done in every lifetime had been perfect and had been part of a learning and growing experience. Everything he had done did contribute to all that is. Everything he had done had created so much experience for his soul. Everything had been perfect. There were no wrong turns in the past ever. There were no lesser roads. There were no mistakes along the way, ever. Even in lifetimes, when he was a thief, or a bandit, or a murderer, all of it was appropriate. Yes, also in the lifetimes, when he was a healer, a doctor, and a teacher, one who worked with others, they were appropriate also. Dear friends, sitting in that chair, Joe realized that he didn't have to ask the question, was he ready for his enlightenment? The answer was already there. He didn't have to ask the angels. All he needed to do was accept himself. Accept himself with total compassion and love, just as the angels accepted him. But he needed to do it within himself. At that moment, he achieved his enlightenment. At that moment, his divinity glowed within him, and he realized in the moment that everything was perfect and right. So ends the story of Joe. Shambhra, like you. You who are sitting in these chairs today. You who are sitting in the chairs listening in today or reading today. You don't have to ask the question, are you ready for your enlightenment or your divinity? Your divinity is here right now, ready to go. Ready for you to understand the perfection of everything you have ever done. Your divinity is waiting for you to acknowledge that you don't need to have a job with a big business card that has big titles on it. You don't have to be speaking to hundreds or thousands of people. The work you are doing, the work you have done within you what has made a difference. The work you have done on yourself to come to new understandings about who you are, that has made the difference. You are worthy. We don't want to have to tell you this. We want you to understand it within yourself. We want you to accept that everything you have ever done has served a purpose and has been done in love and perfection. You are so hard on yourselves. Right now, there are changes you are going through in your life, and you think you are making mistakes. You worry about the people who you affect by the decisions you make. Dear friends, you cannot affect them. You cannot. You can only affect yourself. You think that you are hurting others because of things you are doing for yourself right now in your spiritual path. Understand that you are not. In a way, you are being the best teacher to them possible. You worry that you spend too much time on yourself. You should be in service to everyone else, like Joe. You think that living a life of poverty will bring you to enlightenment? So, on the inner levels, you choose a life of poverty. Dear friends, in this work of spirit, in a new energy, you need abundance. Allow it into your life. You have lived too long in poverty. You have lived too long in lack. Has it brought you enlightenment? It's only brought you pain. It has only depleted your strength and your energy for the work that you will be doing. You have studied and studied and studied until your eyes have become cross-eyed and blurry, thinking you're going to find the answer in a book or from someone else. That did not work either. You are the teachers. You are the ones to be writing the new books, not studying the old books. You have learned in your mind everything you're going to learn from studying. Now begin practicing. Practice. Teach. Be guides. Be divine human guides. In a way, dear friends, you've been hiding behind these things that Joe is hiding behind. You've been hiding behind the thought that you had not learned enough, so therefore you could not teach. You've been hiding behind the fact that you needed to punish yourself through poverty, so you stayed in poverty. You've been hiding behind the fact that you need to do all of these things for other people, be in service to them. Dear friends, I'll throw you out a difficult question. How are they going to come to their enlightenment if you don't allow them their journey, which may include difficulties and challenges? But if you're trying to interfere, trying to put bandages on their life for them, how are they going to come to their enlightenment? You are not here to heal or rescue anyone. You are here to facilitate their own healing process. You are here to be a compassionate guide, but not to do it for them. You do not get brownie points on our side of the veil for service to others. You get, dear friends, enlightenment when you come to your own sense of self-worth. Again, we do not want to have to say this to you again. You need to discover it on your own. You are worthy. You are God also. And everything you have ever done has been in the name of love. Everything. 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 You are God also. You have never killed anyone. Oh, you've destroyed their physical body and they had to be reborn again. But their energy is still here. They're sitting next to you. How could you have killed them? They are sitting next to you. You have never done damage to the spirit and the love of God. You have only built experience. And with us, with that, dear friends, let us talk for a moment here about the new earth. Let us talk for a moment here about where you are going. But we remind you, we do not want to have to bring up this subject of self-worth again. It is your problem now. Dear friends, you left home so very long ago on a journey for spirit, on a journey to learn something that spirit that you could not have learned staying in the first circle, staying in the kingdom. You left home to learn about something that was not possible for spirit to learn on its own. Part of this journey and leaving home and essentially erasing any identity that you had in order to create a new identity. When you left home, you created a new identity so that you could experience in a whole new way. It was a brilliant, brilliant plan. Forget who you were. Wipe out identity. Be on your own. A brilliant plan, we have to say. And when you cross through the wall of fire, the first question that you asked in your own way, the first question you asked was, who am I? You were no longer at home. You were no longer part of the oneness. You were no longer even the prince or the princess of a kingdom. You were nothing. You were in the void. You were nothing. And you asked in the darkness, who am I? That single energetic question has propelled you through a journey that has gone for eons of time. That single question, who am I, has taken you out into the void where you and all of the others have created the universes. Indeed, there are universes. What you see out there is your physical universe, but there are many, many layers, many dimensions within it that you do not see with your human eye. When you ask the question, who am I? It started a long journey. And through that single question, you went out to learn what it was like. What it was like to have your own identity. You learned about the deepest of the deep. You learned about the widest of the wide and the longest of the long. You learned about the color blue. You learned about birds. You learned about stars. You created all these things. You created them and then experienced them. You created water. And then you put yourself in body so you could experience it. You created energy waves that float around in space. And then you went and played with them. And using these energy waves, you created whole societies and whole groups. You created stories, stories out in the universe, out in the void that will be told. That will be told from here to eternity. Stories of how you shifted in from one identity to the other. Stories of how you teamed with other identities who were also in search, asking the same question, who am I? You learned what it was like to love. You learned what it was like to hate. You learned the beauty of the sunset. You learned about the sadness of death. You learned laughter. You never knew laughter before. You learned about tears and what they carried with them. You learned about the joys of having a family, of meeting someone, falling in love, and creating little babies who would turn into rambunctious teenagers. you learned about emotions like fear. You learned about things like anger. Everything you have ever created, you've learned from. It has all been to answer the question, who am I? You had marvelous experiences. Wonderful. Oh, you created music so that you could listen to it. You created animals so that you could learn about biology, so that you could have pets who could show you unconditional love. You learned what it was like to fall so deeply in love with someone that you allowed your energy to fall into theirs. You learned what it was like to have enemies who would gobble you up, who would annihilate you if you didn't get them first. What a wonderful game. What a wonderful game. Dear friends, who am I? Is the single question that has created all of this. How could any of it be wrong? It is all designed to help you learn and understand, and help you come to a new depth of understanding of who am I. It's been a wonderful journey, a long journey, but you know, dear friends, it was not very long ago when you left the kingdom. Not very long ago at all. It is an illusion that so many years, centuries, eons of time have passed, but in a sense, it was only the blink of an eye ago. It was only one breath ago that you left home and asked the question, who am I? And now look and see what you created physical bodies so that you could put yourself in them. All in answer to the question, who am I? Who am I today? I am a human. I am a human that has aches and pains. So, how does this apply to the new earth? The new earth, this place we have talked about, it is not a planet. Although it has characteristics of a planet, it has a type of gravitational pull, this place, the new earth. It has a type of energy that at one moment could appear to have mass, and the next moment does not. This new earth that we have spoken of is being built right now. It is being built by you. It is being built because of the changes that you are making to yourself. The new earth is being built with the assistance of all the angels of the order of the ark. But in a sense, you are the general contractors. They are only helping to shape, to weave, and to structure the energies because of what you are telling them to do. You have all been journeying there now in some of your nightly wanderings and your dreams. So you have a perception of this energy already, this energy of the new earth. Some of you, when you leave this physical body behind, when you end this lifetime, some of you will go there and in a sense reside there. Others of you will choose to come back to earth. But let us tell you the main difference about the new earth as compared to anything else. Right now, you still ask the question, who am I? On the new earth, there's no question. There's simply the energetic statement, I am. I am. I am. You've gone through a very long journey to get to this point, and you no longer need to answer the question, who am I? You come to the new awareness of I am. So when you go to this new earth, sooner or later, when you go there, you will find things very different than on the old planet Earth. You will find that you do not need to always be trying to create situations for yourself to answer the question, who am I? When you go to the new earth, you will understand I am. When you go there, you will be working, you will be studying and playing with new energy. We've told you before, new energy has never been created before. There was a finite amount of energy that left the kingdom, and you have just been switching its forms and its ratios back and forth. But now, you, humans on Earth, have created new energy for the first time. And the new Earth is the place where you will study it. You will learn about the potentials of new energy. You will learn what can be done with it. You will learn how to be true creators. The biggest difference is you will no longer ask the question, who am I? You will understand the statement, I am. In the new earth, you will be a receiver of energies as much as a giver. You know, here on the old earth, you give and you give and you give. It is an outward expression all the time, giving into new, into creation, giving into creating new forms and new identities. On the new earth, you'll be receiving and giving. On the new earth, you will be a balanced energy of male and female. In a sense, there won't even be a male and a female anymore. That was old. That was duality. You will be totally integrated. On the new earth, dear friends, you will be able to go back and pick up any of the attributes of anything you had ever learned and use them there. You will not have physical human body like you have now unless you want it. You can create it, and you can literally go back into biology, into math, but then you can depart it whenever you want. Right now in the old earth, you are, as you say, stuck in these bodies. If you leave, you face certain death. On the new earth, you can create the body and you can create mass whenever you choose to. If you want to enjoy a fine meal, you can do that. And at the end of the meal, you can go back out of physical form, back into pure energy form. I talked about creating my own scenario of my cottage out in the country, but in a sense it is just a hologram, an illusion. But on the new earth, you'll be able to create reality, material reality, whatever you want. On the new earth, there won't be any death because there is no permanent body. You never die. In a sense, you never did die. But on the new earth, there is no death. You don't have that dreaded thing to look forward to. On the new earth, you go through cycles and changes. You go from one level of vibration to the next level to the next level, perhaps taking breaks in between, but there is no death. On the new earth, there is no going out and seeking a partner or a mate to be part of your life, because you are complete under yourself. You are whole under yourself. But on the new earth, you find that you can easily meld and blend your energy with another if you choose. You can become part of them and part of their experience. You will understand everything their soul has ever gone through. You can literally view it from within them. But on the new earth, you do not try to consume them. They do not try to consume you. There is no need to. I am. I am. It is wholeness and completeness unto itself. On the new earth, dear friends, you will not have a brain. Not a brain like you have now. Because you will feel everything. You will not need this barrier, this filter of the brain to process things through. In a sense, all of the records of all your experiences will be contained within you. You will have access to them. But it will not be like a brain that makes judgments, that tells you what's right or wrong. On a new earth, there is no right and wrong. Simply, I am. On a new earth, you will have incredible senses of feeling and understanding and compassion and love and joy. On a new earth, you won't have to experience these things that you did on earth, on the old earth, of fear and anger. Those were all part of this game of answering the question, who am I? The new earth will become, in a sense, a laboratory for studying the applications of new energy, how to use it for creation. The new earth will become a laboratory, a learning place, where the energies of home can come in fully. Yes, indeed, the new earth will be a beacon to home, to allow the energies of the kingdom, of the king and the queen, to now expand outwards. The new earth will be a place where you human angels, can also work with the humans who have stayed on the old earth. You will be able to literally sit beside them. They may not recognize you because they are still in duality. You will be able to transport yourself and travel back to the old earth because you were there. You helped to create it. You know how the energies work. So you will be able to go back and be next to the ones. Next to the ones who are asking for guidance. You will be able to go and sit with them. Very few will recognize you because they are still in the old energy. You understand, dear friends, that even we who are on this side of the veil cannot come in too close to you, the humans. There are energetic barriers that prevent us from coming in very, very close, but from the new earth you will be able to come and be even much closer than we are right now. There's a question here, wondering if entities like I, Tobias, or Mary, or any of the others can go to this new earth at any time. In a sense, yes, they can, but they cannot stay there. They can visit, is the best way to put it. In order to truly be resident of the new earth, you must go through the entire process of enlightenment on the old earth. That is the pathway to get to the new earth. The angels on this side of the veil cannot bypass earth to get to this new place. The question is also asked, what is the name of the new earth? We tell you that it has not been given a name yet. The energies are still being built. It would not be appropriate to name it at this point. We also tell you that the new earth is this separate place, not a planet, but rather the energy build-up. This is a wonderful place from what we have seen, from what we perceive it will be. It will be a place where you will truly understand the I am-ness of who you are. What happens to the old earth? We don't know yet. It is up to you. It is up to the other humans. We see the strong potential for the same changes that are taking place on the new earth to also happen on the old earth. We see that the understanding of I am can occur here on this physical earth just as well. We see that the old earth, the physical earth, has the potential also to release duality. We see the potential that you do not have to carry around the physical body all the time on the old earth. We see the potential where there are not wars because there is nothing to battle about anymore. With the understanding of I am, there is no need to battle. The old earth has the potential of changing. The old earth has the potential of bringing in the attributes of the new earth. The old earth also has the attributes, dear friends, of being a place for souls who want to continue playing the old game, who want to continue to be in search of the answer to the question, who am I? The old earth has the potential to continue wars, to continue pollution, to continue mistrust, to continue the emotions of anger and hate and rage. It has that potential also. Which way the old earth goes really depends on you and the other humans at this point. Really depends on the work that you do within you, deep within you. It is at that point where we cannot tell you one way or the other. We do not see that the old earth will go through any sort of destruction or termination, but it could be, it could remain as the playground of old duality. This will be known here in the next few years of time, in a time of what you've talked about as calling the quantum leap, that will help determine which way the old earth goes. But what we know right now is that a new earth is being built. It's being built by you. No longer ask the question, who am I? You will have the understanding of I am. It is something that you are beginning to experience in your lives right now. Now, we know there will be many questions about the new earth. Some we will not be able to answer because it has not been determined yet. But we can give you the overview of the energies of the new earth, the understanding of how you can take everything you have ever done and play with it on the new earth. You can go into physical matter. You can do all of these things on the new earth. Now with that, dear friends, it is time for you to speak. It's time for the showered, for you to speak to yourself about what is going on in your life. I, Tobias, will back away here for a moment. And next, you will hear the sound of your own heart, your own being come through. We'll take a moment here to adjust the energies. We are Chambra, and we are family. We are one voice, and we are many voices. And together, we walk a journey of Chambra, a journey that leads us from home into this place Tobias talks about, the new earth. But as we listen to Tobias talk, we dream of the new earth being right here, in this place that we currently live. We dream of bringing these same energies to what has been called the old earth. As Chambra, we see the potential for all of these things to occur on this earth here also, to build these here. As Chambra, on our path right now, there are so many changes, and at times it is difficult. At times, we're not sure which way to turn. We're not sure what's blocking the road in front of us. But we are here to tell ourselves one simple and short thing on this day in the shroud. We have created so many rules for ourselves in the past. We have created rules to help us get through the difficult times. We have created rules about how we should act and what we should eat, what we should think, who we should associate with. We have created rules for ourselves about what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is bad. We have created so many rules for ourselves that it is difficult at times to move forward. And as Chambra, we tell ourselves and remind ourselves It is time for all of the rules to come down now. Let there be no rules in our life. Hey, Shambhra, we will look at the rules that we've created over these next few weeks of time between now and the end of our calendar year. We will look at the rules that we have created about what is the right way to dress, what is the right way to talk, what is the right way to act, what are the right things to believe in, what are the right foods to eat. We have created volumes and volumes of rules, and none of them apply anymore. We will look throughout these next days and weeks of times as we experience things in our lives. We will look at all the rules that we have, and we will come to understand that the rules perhaps served us in the past, but are no longer appropriate. And it's time for all of the rules to be gone. In a sense, we have allowed the rules to rule our life. We have given up control and power of who we were to rules that don't apply anymore. In a sense, we have let a portion of our own identity be the judge and jury. Those are the voices we hear in our head. Those are the voices from the very rules that we made up and then gave authority to part of ourselves to enforce the rules. We hear the voice of the judge and the jury, and they're controlling and guiding so much of our lives. It is time to take all of those law books that we have written for ourselves, about ourselves, and throw them out. Those old rules are not becoming to us anymore. The old rules don't look good on us anymore. They don't serve us anymore. Hey, Shambhu, we gave up power to old rules that the old self created. Hey, Shambhu, we let the kingdom of ourselves be governed by aspects of ourselves, the judge and the jury that told us what to do, or more likely what not to do. As we, Shambhu, look out on our path and what lies ahead for us, we realize that the old rules will keep us from becoming who we are, keep us from understanding the true I am. So it is time that we look at how those rules dictate and guide our lives, and then we release them all. Shambhu, there are rules that guide our life, but we don't even understand our rules. They are so ingrained and embedded within us that we don't realize that these were illusions, that we don't need them anymore. We tend to create such narrow guidelines for ourselves that we have not allowed ourselves to truly express and truly enjoy. We've created so many of the rules because we didn't trust ourselves. We didn't trust our own power and our own divinity. So we limited ourselves with rule after rule after rule about how to live and what to be and how to be perceived by others. We realize, as Shambhu, that these old rules are in a way the last vestiges of what need to be released in order to become truly a divine human. We've released past lives, we've released old energies, we've released other people. But now, Shambhu, we realize it's time to release all of the old rules that we had. None of them apply anymore, and there is no reason to write new ones. If we're going to let our divinity be our guide, why would we need rules? Why would we have to create restrictions? If we truly trust ourselves as divine angels, there are no rules. There is only creation. There is only I am. And so it is. Now I, Tobias, return for just a moment. Ah, we love looking at you. We love this time together. We have covered much ground today. We will talk more about the new earth as things develop. We will talk more about what you said, how this energy of the new earth can be part of the old earth as well. We can envision the meld of the old earth into the new earth so they are one, so they do not have to be separate. It could take a while. But dear friends, with the work you are doing, there is the potential for that. There is the potential for the new earth to be right here. You are never alone. You have Shambra as family. You have us, the angels as friends. And so it is.